Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu salam wa rasulullah. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about entering Mecca. Imam Ibn Qudama says in Al-Matn, which is the text, the text of the book. And Imam Ibn Qudama here is the great Ibn Qudama, is Muwaffaq al-Din, Abdullah Ibn Qudama, the author of Al-Mughni. So he says here, يُسْتَحَبُّ أَنْ يَدْخُلَ مَكَّةَ مِنْ أَعْلَاهَا. It's preferable that he enters Mecca from the northern side. وَيَدْخُلَ الْمَسْجِدْ مِنْ بَابْ بَنِي شَيْبَ لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ دَخَلَ مِنْهَا. And that he enters the masjid from the gate of Abi Shayba, since the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم entered from the gate of Bani Shayba. The Prophet ﷺ, there are two ways to enter Mecca. He can enter Mecca from the northern side of Mecca, which is the upper side, which is the higher side, or the other side, which is the southern side, which is the lower side of Mecca. There are two steep hills on the north and the south. Coming from Medina, the northern side will be on your way, coming from Medina, because Medina is north of Mecca. So coming from Medina, the northern side will be on your way. That is called Kada, or Kada, or Athaniya al-Uliya. Athaniya al-Uliya means the upper or the northern high or steep heights. The northern steep heights. Athaniya is steep heights. Al-Uliya would mean here upper or northern. When he left Mecca, he left from the southern or the lower steep heights. Al-Thaniya al-Sufla, Kuda. The other one is called Kada, and this one is called Kuda. The other one is called Al-Thaniya al-Uliya. This is Al-Thaniya al-Sufla, where he left. Why did he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enter from the upper side? Why did he enter from the upper side? Well, some of the scholars said that he entered from the upper side because he just happened to come from Medina. It was from the north. He entered from the northern side. Yet he did this every time. He visited Mecca. And many of the scholars say that this was intentional. It was not coincidental. It was intentional. And some of the scholars said that this was intentional because the Prophet ﷺ, when he left Mecca, he was hiding. He left it. He escaped from Mecca, not left from Mecca. And when you escape at night, and you escape from unknown routes. But people usually, that side of Mecca, it oversees Mecca. That upper side oversees Mecca. So you're going down to Mecca like this and you're overseeing Mecca. It is an indication, a declaration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Islam prevailed. So on his way back to Mecca to make his Hajj and Umrah, now he is entering during the day, and he's entering from the upper side of Mecca, an indication or a declaration from Allah to the disbelievers that Islam prevailed. So that could be one reason why he entered Mecca from the northern side. Some of the scholars say that you enter Mecca from the northern side out of respect for Mecca, because when you enter Mecca from the northern side, you will face the door of Al-Kaaba, and you should come to it from the side that faces the gate, because the gate, because when you approach a king or you approach royalty, you approach them from the side of the gate of the palace or the gate of the gate of their residence. So that's why he entered from this side. Some of the scholars also said that Hassan ibn Thabit, in some of his poetry, he promised the people of Mecca that we will enter one day from Athaniya al-Ulya, from Kada. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted to confirm the promise of Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. There could be many reasons, or he could have done it coincidentally. No one can tell for sure. But it seems that it was not pure coincidence, because the Prophet ﷺ did this every time he entered Mecca. And he entered the haram itself from Bab Bani Shaiba. And once he sees the house, which is the Kaaba, he raises his hands and he says, Allahu Akbar, and prays Allah and supplicates. فَإِذَا رَأَى الْبَيْتَ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ وَكَبَّرَ اللَّهَ وَحَمِدَهُ وَدَعَى إِذَا رَأَى الْبَيْتَ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ وَكَبَّرَ اللَّهَ وَحَمِدَهُ وَدَعَى. None of it is reported from the Prophet ﷺ directly. It was reported from Umar radiallahu anhu that he made takbir. It was reported from Umar radiallahu anhu that he said, Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam hayyina rabbana bis-salam. Oh Allah, you are as-salam, the peace or the peace giver. Wa minka as-salam, from you comes peace. Fahayyina bis-salam, hayyina rabbana bis-salam. Oh our Lord, make us live in peace. That was from Umar radiallahu anhu, and takbir was from Umar radiallahu anhu. Therefore, what comes, there are other reports as well, but these reports are not authentic. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told us about entering any masjid, including a masjid al-haram, is to say, Bismillah, salatu wassalam, ala rasulullah, Allahumma aftah li ababa, rahmatik, is still applicable here. Yes, it is still applicable here. So you should say, Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu salam ala rasulullah, Allahumma aftah li abwaba rahmatik. If you do like Umar radiallahu anhu did, then you have an uswa, or you have a role model in Umar radiallahu anhu. But this is not directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this has to be known, because there is a difference between using Umar radiallahu anhu as a role model and considering something to be part of the revelation. ثم يبتدئ بطواف العمرة إن كان معتمرا أو بطواف القدوم إن كان مفردا أو قارنا. And then he starts with the circumambulation of the Umrah if he was making Umrah, or the circumambulation of the arrival, طواف القدوم, if he was making إفراد or قران. إفراد is when you do Hajj alone, and قران is when you do Hajj and Umrah simultaneously. So now you entered Mecca, you're coming from the northern side. You don't have to change course to come from the northern side, but if you're able to come from the northern side, that is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and him is a role model for us. And certainly, if you do this out of love for him, you get rewarded, even if he did it coincidentally. You see, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he was sitting with the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ was eating squash. And Anas saw the Prophet ﷺ follow the squash because he liked it. Anas said, "I from that time on, I loved squash." So that is not to say that this is part of the deen, but the love that he had for the Prophet ﷺ made him love everything the Prophet ﷺ loved, even when it comes to the matters of taste, which are completely not related to the deen. So when you come to Al-Kaaba and you have come from Athaniya al-Ulya, or the upper steep heights of Mecca, or northern steep heights of Mecca, and you enter from Bab Bani Shaiba, you say the dua that you say when you enter the masjid. If you say the dua that Umar radiallahu anhu said, that would still be acceptable, because Umar is one of the الخلفاء الراشدين الذين يتأسى بهم, the one of the خلفاء الراشدين whose sunnah is to be followed. And then the first thing that you will do is to make tawaf. first thing that you'll do is to make tawaf. The scholars even said that before you even go to your hotel or residence, it is preferable that you start with the bayt, with the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of respect for the house of Allah, because that is why you're here. That is what, why you came from thousands of miles away make tawaf, to visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to pay tribute and respect to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's where you start, preferably. And you will start with making the umrah, the tawaf of the umrah. If you if you have tamattu, if you're making tamattu, which is umrah and hajj subsequently, umrah and then hajj, umrah and then you exit from your ihram and then hajj, then that tawaf will be the tawaf of al-umrah. Okay? If you are making ifrad, which is hajj, that tawaf will be called tawaf al-qudum, the tawaf of arrival. Tawaf al-qudum or tawaf of arrival. And if you are making qiran, hajj al-qiran, this tawaf will count for you as it is disagreeable here whether you will have to make two tawafs, one for umrah and hajj separately and qiran, or you just need to make one tawaf. But at any rate, if you are making qiran, you will make tawaf al-qudum. Whether you will need to make a different tawaf for al-umrah or not, that's controversial. فيطبع بردائه فيجعل وسطه تحت عاتقه الأيمن وطرفيه على عاتقه الأيسر. Then he makes ittiba' with his upper garment and puts the middle of it underneath his right shoulder and the two ends on his left shoulder. Now, how does he make ittiba'? If you have you know the rida', it's like a blanket. So you hold the blanket like this, okay, and then you get that one end of the blanket and throw it on your left shoulder like this, and the other end of the blanket, you will throw it on your left shoulder as well. So what do you have uncovered now? You can imagine. Here is the blanket, okay? The blanket is underneath your right armpit here. You get that end, you throw it here, and the other end, you'll throw it from the back on your left shoulder as well. So what is left uncovered here is your right shoulder. And at-tiba' was reported by Ashab al-Sunan, A for Ahmad, D for the Abu Dawood, C for Tirmidhi, N for Nasa'i, MA for Ibn Majah. And Tirmidhi said it was authentic. The stronger position is that Ramal, Yarmulu Ramalan. The stronger position is that Ramal, which is fast walking with short steps, and at-tiba' uncovering of the right shoulder are only prescribed in the first tawaf made when you arrive in Mecca. Ibn Abbas said that the Prophet ﷺ did not fast walk in the seven rounds of tawaf al-ifada. Okay, so ramal is to walk fast in the first three rounds of the tawaf. The first three rounds of tawaf, the first tawaf that you make, whether you will call this tawaf al-qudum, the tawaf of arrival, or tawaf al-umrah. The first tawaf you make when you go to Mecca, you make ramal in the first three rounds, and you make at-tiba' throughout the tawaf. During the entire tawaf, you will make at-tiba'. You will have your right shoulder uncovered. You see, the Hajjaj always, they keep the right shoulder uncovered for the rest of the Hajj. That's just like part of the Hajj for many people. But this is prescribed only during the first tawaf. So for the rest of your Hajj, you do not need to have your right shoulder uncovered. You can cover. You can wear the rida' the usual way the rida' is worn. Just wear it on your two shoulders like this, so you're covered, all of you. However, that is prescribed in the first tawaf, al-ittiba, uncovering of the right shoulder, is prescribed in the first tawaf. Ar-ramad, which is brisk walking or fast walking, is prescribed only in the first three rounds of the first tawaf. So tawaf is seven rounds. The first three of them, you will do ramad. Why are you doing ittiba and ramad? Why are you doing ittiba and ramad? Because when the Prophet ﷺ came to Mecca to make his Hajj, they said the Kuffar of Quraysh said to actually make his Umrah. The Kuffar of Quraysh said that what will come to you now are people who were weakened by يأتيكم قوم أوهانتهم حمى المدينة. What will come to you now are people who are weakened by the atmosphere of Medina. And the atmosphere of Medina was more humid than the atmosphere in Mecca. Medina had gardens and palm trees and so on and so forth. So the atmosphere was more humid than the atmosphere of Mecca. And the Meccans used to feel that this weakens people. It's not as dry as the atmosphere in Mecca. So they said that the people who will come now are people who are weakened by the atmosphere in Medina. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to show Quraysh that his companions are not weakened by Medina. So Ittiba and the Ramal was a manifestation of their strength. Why do we keep on doing it? Because the Prophet did. Why do we kiss the Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone? Because the Prophet ﷺ did. Umar ibn Khattab said this clearly. Oh, I know that you are a stone. You benefit not, nor do you harm. And had it not been that I saw the Prophet ﷺ kiss you, I would have not kissed you. Had it not been that I saw the Prophet ﷺ kiss you, I would have not kissed you. So we do it out of following the Prophet ﷺ. And certainly, it is a good reminder for us. Because you remember how the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba escaped from Mecca and how they suffered, how they were ridiculed by the people of Mecca, how they were laughed at, how they were mocked. And that gives you patience, it gives you perseverance, it makes you ignore the ignorant and the obscenities of the obscene. And he starts by, so you're now going to make tawaf. How do you make the tawaf? He starts by the black stone. وَيَبْدَأُ بِالْحَجَرِ الْأَسْوَدِ فَيَسْتَلِمُهُ وَيُقَبِّرُهُ وَيَقُولُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ اللَّهُمَّ إِيمَانًا بِكَ وَتَصْدِيقًا بِكِتَابِكَ وَوَفَاءً بِعَهْدِكَ وَاتِّبَاعًا لِسُنَّةِ نَبِيِّكَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And he starts by the black stone and places his hand on it and kisses it and says, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, O Allah, out of faith in you and to show belief in your book, fulfill your covenant and follow the sunnah of your prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What's actually from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in all of this is to touch al-Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone, and to kiss al-Hajar al-Aswad, and to say Allahu Akbar. Bismillah is from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. But if one follows the sunnah of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, a great companion who used to be very diligent to follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is acceptable. Yet the rest of it has been reported by a weak chain from Allahumma imanan bik wa tasdiqan bi kitabik. That has been reported by a weak chain. Therefore, we cannot verify that this is even from a Sahabi. Therefore, it is preferable that this is not said. And then, after he does this, after he kisses al-Hajar al-Aswad, and he says, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, ابن قدامة رحمه الله said, ثم يأخذ عن يمينه ويجعل البيت عن يساره فيطوف سبعا يرمل في الثلاثة الأول من الحجر إلى الحجر ويمشي في الأربعة الأخر. And then he moves to his right and makes the house or the Kaaba on his left. So in this case, you will be making tawaf clockwise or anti-clockwise. Anti-clockwise. And some people actually read so much into this, and you know, we're not going to go into the details of, but certainly anti-clockwise, the electrons go anti-clockwise around the nucleus, and anti-clockwise, most of the heavenly germs or bodies go anti-clockwise. To the point of the nucleus and the electrons that go around it. They all go anti-clockwise. The miracles of the Quran and Sunnah, the scientific miracles of the Quran and Sunnah, some of them are so obvious, you ought to be blind not to see them. And those are the ones that you should use frequently. Those are the ones that you should use frequently. Some of them, they need a measure of belief, or they need a measure of imagination to find the link between the science and the hadith or the ayah. Those ones you should never use, particularly with non-Muslims, because that weakens your argument. Don't just stuff more arguments into the discussion. That weakens the whole discussion. Just keep yourself limited to the stronger ones. And those are plenty. Alhamdulillah. So then he moves to his right and makes the house or the Kaaba on his left and makes circumambulation seven times, making ramal, which is fast walking with short steps, in the first three rounds, with each round starting from the stone and ending by it. And he walks in the last four rounds whenever he becomes in line with the Yemeni corner or the stone. He places his hand on them and says Allahu Akbar and makes tahleel, which is La ilaha illallah, which means there is no God but Allah. Okay, so then you will start to make your tawaf. You're starting from Al-Hajar Al-Aswad, and you will make ramal, which is the fast walking with short steps, in the first three rounds, with each round starting from the stone and ending by it. And he walks in the last four rounds. As we said, so the first three you will be fast walking or brisk walking. The last three, it will be a regular walk. From it, how do you count the rounds? From the stone to the stone, that's one round. From the stone to the stone, that's another round, and so on. If you walk inside the Hijr, that does not count. If you walk inside Hijr Ismail, that does not count. Hajar Ismail is the arch that's outside of the Kaaba. It should have been built into the Kaaba, but Quraysh lacked resources, enough resources to include the Hajar into the Kaaba. They kept it outside. This is part of the Kaaba, so you should be making off outside of it, not inside of it. You also need the niyyah, you need the intention to make the tawaf. You need tahara, you need purification, you need to have wudu for your tawaf to be accepted. Your tawaf needs to be anti-clockwise to be accepted. It has to be from al-hijr to al-hijr, and it has to be seven, and these are the conditions of tawaf. And there should be muwala, continuous. So you should not separate between the tawaf with a long gap. Yes, if there is a janazah, you pray the janazah. If there is salah, you pray the salah. And you carry on. You don't have to redo what you did. But you don't go home and have dinner and, you know, and come back and finish. That would be a long interruption, a long gap that would violate the continuity of your tawaf. So it will be invalid and you start all over. So it has to be 7, from al-hajr to al-hajr, or from al-hajr to al-hajr, and anti-clockwise with tahara, purification, and with the niyyah, and certainly the time should have been in for the tawaf that requires a time. Which one is that? Al-ifada. That's the one before the last. The last one is al-wada', the farewell. Tawaf al-ifada is the one before the last, and that is the pillar tawaf. That is the rukn. That is the tawaf that you must do for your hajj to be accepted. Because the pillars of hajj are what? The pillars of al-hajj are al-ihram, which is the niyyah, the intention here. Al-ihram here is not the clothes, but the intention to make hajj, and the intention to make hajj by ihram, tuhrimu bil-hajj. So you enter into the sacredness of the ritual of hajj by ihram. And arafah, right? And tawaf al-ifada, which is the tawaf before the last, and that is by consensus. And then a sa'i bayna safa wal marwa is a matter of disagreement. Some consider it to be a pillar and some consider it to be mandatory. But in order for your hajj to be accepted, you need to have the intention, tuhrim bil hajj, intention, tuhrim bil hajj, and you need to or enter into the state of sacredness of the ritual or of hajj. And you need to make the tawaf, al-ifada, and most certainly, arafah. You've done those three. Your hajj is complete according to many scholars. According to some, you have to do a sa'i. And according to others, you know, there are more disagreements. But those are the three most important ones. They are corners. They are pillars by consensus. Ihram, arafah, tawaf. So remember them. Ihram, arafah, tawaf. Ihram, arafah, tawaf. If you don't do them, you have not made hajj. And then you add the sa'i between al-safa and al-marwa, brisk walking between al-safa and al-marwa, because it is either mandatory or a pillar. Every time you come parallel to or across from, you come across from al-hajar al-aswad or al-rukn al-yamani, let me see if I can show you the... No, I will show you this, inshallah, after we're done. But I'll see if I have it on here. The diagram of Al-Kaaba. Al-Hajar al-Aswad and Rukn al-Yamani. Al-Yamani, the Yemeni corner. And Al-Hajar al-Aswad, both of them are Yemeni. Because both of them are from the south. Both are Yemeni. Al-Shamiyyan, which are from the north, Ar-Ruknan al-Shami, the two corners that are Shamiyan are the northern ones. They are from the direction of Ash-Sham, Greater Syria. And that is Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, and Palestine. May Allah liberate it. So that is these are the two Shamiyan. The Yamaniyan are the ones that are from the south. One of them is the one that has Al-Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone. The other one is just called the Yamani. It doesn't have the Hajar al-Aswad, so it's just called the Yamani, Rukn al-Yamani. But both are Yemeni, both are southern corners. The ones that are, the one that has the Hajar al-Aswad, this one, you kiss it, you touch it, and you point to it from a distance. The other one, you only touch it if you can. But it has not been reported that the Prophet kissed it or pointed to it from a distance. which is al-Yamani, the other Yemeni. So you have the two southern ones, one that has the black stone, one that does not have the black stone or Hajar al-Aswad, and you have the two northern ones. You have three different types of arkan here. Hajar al-Aswad is a type by itself. The other Yemeni is a type by itself. And the two other corners are a type by itself. Hajar al-Aswad, you attempt to kiss it if you can. If you can't, you touch it. If you can't touch it, you touch it with like a stick or staff. And if you are far from it, you point to it. The other one, the Yemeni, all that is reported from the Prophet ﷺ is that he used to yastalimu. Hajar al-Aswad yuqabbiruhu aw yastalimuhu aw yushiru ilayhi. This one, yastalimuhu, to touch it. The other two corners, which are al-Shamiyan, the northern ones, the two northern ones, you do not do any of that. You do not do any of that. And the importance of following the Sunnah is highlighted by Abdullah ibn Abbas when he saw Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu kana yastalimu al-arkan al-arba'a. He used to touch all the four corners. So Abdullah ibn Abbas came to him and said, why am I seeing you touch the four corners? He said, "Laysa shay'un min al-bayti mahjura." None of the corners of this house are to be abandoned. So he wanted to respect, give due respect to all of the corners of the house. Abdullah ibn Abbas said to him, "But this is not what the Prophet ﷺ did. وَلَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ." And in the Messenger of Allah, you had a great example. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said to him, "Sadaq, you said the truth." And he stopped touching the other two corners. So do you remember the author of Imam Malik, right? That we said last time, it's about following the Sunnah, it's about where to make ihram. Everyone who invites to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ should remember that author. There is nothing that's more beautiful than this. When a man came to him and he said, "Ya Aba Abdullah, min ayna uhrim?" Qala, "Tuhrimu min dhil hulayfa min haythu ahrama Rasulullah ﷺ." فقال إفيني أحب أن أحرم من المسجد قال لا تفعل إني أخشى عليك الفتنة قال وأي فتنة تلك وهي أميال أزيدها قال وأي فتنة في أن تظن أنك سبقت إلى خير قصر عنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. When the man came to Imam Malik, he said to him, "Oh Abu Abdullah, where do I make ihram from?" He said, "From the Hudhaifa." And this was reported authentically by Abi Nuaym fil Hilya and others. So tuhrim min al-hulayfa, from where the Prophet ﷺ made ihram. And the man said to him, "But I would like to make ihram from al-Madinah, from the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ." He felt that this is better, this is more, you know, reward, and it's better, it's longer distance, you'll be making ihram for a longer time, and you're making ihram from a place that is higher in virtue than the al-hulayfa. What's the al-hulayfa compared to the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ? So the Imam Malik said to him, "Do not do it. I fear misguidance for you. I fear misguidance for you." He said to him, "What misguidance is there when it's just a few miles that I'm adding? I am not deleting." And that is the problem with any innovation, is that anyone who makes an innovation, he says, "I'm not deleting. I'm adding." So he said, "I'm adding, you know, a few miles." And Imam Malik said, "Is there any misguidance than to think, or any trial, than to think that you have preceded the Prophet ﷺ to something good that he fell short of?" And then he will say, between the two corners, which are al-Yamaniyayn, which are the southern ones, Hajar and Rukn al-Yamani, "Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhab an-nar." Our Lord, grant us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and protect us from the torment of the fire. And that has been reported authentically from the Prophet ﷺ, And that is in the Quran as well. Not necessarily, the Quran does not necessarily say that this is when you say it, but the Quran says it about al-Hajj in general, making this dua al-Hajj in general. وَيَدْعُوا فِي سَئِرِهِ بِمَا أَحَبَّ And he makes whatever supplications he pleases in the rest. So when you see people following up, you know, like a leader or a guide, and he has a book and he keeps on, you know, reading from the book, and everybody is reading behind him, or everybody is reciting behind him, that has no basis in the Sunnah whatsoever. It has many flaws. Number one, all of these adayah are made up. They are not in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So someone made them up. And we're not just going to follow anyone when it pertains to this deen. This is an evidence-based deen. This is a deen that follows the evidence. This is a deen that comes from Allah. No one can say what pleases Allah and what displeases Allah except Allah. And no one can tell us what he said except his messenger. That's it. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ And Allah would not have unsealed the unseen for you, or disclosed the unseen for all of you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elects of his messengers whomever he pleases. Add to this, is that whenever you make an innovation to do something better or something good, it fires back. How does it fire back? Many times they make mistakes, and you find them making mistakes when they read, and everybody is making mistakes after them. And sometimes terrible mistakes. But let's say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, you know, judge them by their hearts, not their tongues. Yet, it makes the whole relationship between them and Allah fake. This is a time when you make dua from the depth of your heart. You're not waiting for a guide to read and you're reciting after him. Don't you have any personal connection with Allah? Don't you have any adaya that you truly want to make from your heart? Don't you have any trouble that you want Allah to save you from? Don't you have any aspirations or ambitions that you want Allah to help you accomplish? So don't make it fake. Just ask Allah what comes to your mind and what is in your heart in whichever language. In whichever language. The adaya of the Prophet ﷺ are like formulas. They are the best formulas. If you can memorize some of them and repeat them in Arabic in the same way the Prophet made them, that is great. But dua in general, or supplication in general, can be done in any language. But the adaya of the Prophet, and that is not just Arabic and English, that is Arabic and Arabic. If you take the dua of the Prophet ﷺ and paraphrase it in Arabic, it is not the same. Because these are perfect formulas that the Prophet ﷺ had taught us. And then he prays two rakats behind the station of Ibrahim, or Maqam Ibrahim. So you're done with your tawaf, you go to pray the two rakats, and that is established in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and it's a command in the Quran. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِنْ مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى And Umar radiallahu anhu had suggested it before it was revealed, and this is one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported Umar's suggestion regarding them. And then he goes, he did not say that he goes back to يَسْتَلِمِ الْحَجَرِ No, he said. And then he goes back to touch the Hajar. After he prays the two rakas behind the station of Ibrahim, then he goes back and touches the Hajar, the station of Ibrahim, where he stood to build the Kaaba. And then he goes back to touch the Hajar, and then he goes out to As-Safa. And the Prophet ﷺ said, أَبْدَأُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ I start with which Allah started with. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ وَاعْتَمَرَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَن يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا Most certainly, As-Safa and Al-Marwa are of the rites or symbols of Allah. And Allah started with As-Safa, the Prophet started with As-Safa. And he went towards As-Safa, and then when you ascend, then there is tahleel and takbir and dua. Tahleel is what? La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. Takbir is Allahu Akbar. Dua is the La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Lahu al-mulku wa alhamdahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. La ilaha illallah wahdahu anjaza wa'adahu wa nasara 'abdahu wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. This is not here, but no, this is here. Okay, it is here. It's in the footnote. That's what it is. And that's the translation. It says, there is no God but Allah. One, there is no partner with Him. His is the sovereignty. To Him praise is due. And He is powerful over all things or everything. There is no God but Allah alone who fulfilled his promise, anjaza wa'adahu, helped his servant, nasara 'abdahu, and routed the confederates, wa hazama al-ahzab, alone, wahda. He would say this three times, and between them he would make dua. You make dua for yourself, your family, your friends, those whom you love, and for the ummah. And you see that you have to make dua for the ummah. You have to feel the one body feeling that the Prophet ﷺ had told us about. This entire ummah is one ummah. Allah says, "Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida, wa ana rabbukum fa'budun." This nation of yours is one nation, and I am your Lord, so worship me alone. So the pain and suffering of anyone of this ummah, anywhere, should be your own pain and suffering. And it's not just within this community. The pain and suffering of anyone in this ummah should be your own. See, Muhammad Rashid Rida, rahimahullah, may Allah bestow mercy on him, he used to get depressed. His mother would blame him or reprimand him for getting depressed over every unfortunate incident that happens to every Muslim everywhere in the world. Like, everything that he hears about would get him saddened. Not necessarily depressed, not necessarily the unhealthy depression, but it is the healthy sadness. And that is the tender heart of a believer. Inshallah, I'll answer all the questions afterwards. I'll just finish. There are a couple of slides to finish. So he will do this for three times, and then he goes down from As-Safa to Al-Marwa, and then back to As-Safa. Every time he ascends one of them, he repeats the same adaya. He goes down to As-Safa, and he brisk walks until, you know, until the green sign, you know, because now it's easier to say it this way, until the green sign. Everybody knows the green sign. It's green lights and green sign, and the ceiling has the green, and everything's green. So until he gets to a certain point, between those two points, he will walk. And then he starts to brisk walk to Al-Marwa. And then comes down for Al-Marwa brisk walking. He gets to the green flag, and then he starts to slow down and walk a regular walk to the other green flag. And then he starts to brisk walk to As-Safa. Seven times. Seven times. Okay? What if he started with Al-Marwa, not As-Safa? The first will not count. The first will not count. He does not have to redo it all over, but the first will not count. Then after he had done this, then he did the tawaf and he did the sa'i. After he's done, he shaves or trims his hair. And then he exits from the state of Ihram. If he was mutamatta', then he will wait around until he enters the state of Ihram once again on the 8th, Yawm al-Tarwiyah, on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the day of watering, or the day of storing water, Yawm al-Tarwiyah. But then if he arrived on the 1st of Dhul-Hijjah and made his Umrah, he will spend 7 days wearing regular clothes, putting, you know, wearing perfume and just regular. in Mecca until the eighth day, which is Yawm At-Tarwiyah. The one who is making Qiran or Ifrad, the one who is making combined Hajj and Umrah together, or the one who is making Hajj alone, will continue to be in a state of Ihram until he ends his Hajj. He will not exit from the state of Ihram. The woman is like the man in everything except that she does not brisk walk. And certainly she does not uncover the right shoulder. Her dress code is completely different. But in terms of the actions, she does not brisk walk. Neither in Tawaf nor in Sa'i does she brisk walk, because that is counter to femininity, counter to integrity and decency, the integrity and decency expected from a Muslim woman. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.